Hallelujah. Can we clap our hands for our God? Amen. Today, we are going to take some questions and answers. But within the time we shall have. Nobody comes before God's presence and remains the same. Amen. After today's service, prayer program, somebody will see you and think you went to make juju. After today, somebody will look at you and say, brother, sister, your God will be my God. The windows of heaven are open. The windows of heaven are open. Your hand. Your hand. Let heaven hear your hand. Manifest, it will shift back again. When you're about to touch it, it will shift back. When you're about to touch it, it will shift back. Today we shall arrest that blessing. Hallelujah. It's not delay. It's not even delay. You don't see them. As you want to grab, it will shift back. You want to grab, it will shift back. So every day, you are hoping. Until people around you look at you as a liar. Your wife say, come, come, every day, come, come. I don't tire. People, when they help you to sustain you, they don't tire. Today, that nonsense will stop. I hope we're ready to pray. God bless you. Be seated first. Let's have that at the back of our mind. Somebody here, the end of waiting has come. End of waiting has come. Has come. No more waiting. This year will not end like it ended last year for somebody. This year must end better. This year must end better than last year ended. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have online members connecting around the world. Can we greet them? Online members around the world. What do we say? Shalom, 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 shalom. God bless you. No question. We'll go fire on. Any question within us? There's no question. We'll do Bible reading, then we'll pray. They don't go stand up now. Then when we don't talk, finish. Time don't go. They go, they stand up, they come. Afterthought. Let me hear the first question.
Shalom, Pastor.
God bless you.
My question is from Genesis chapter 20. Genesis 19. It's about Lot and his wife and two daughters. Lot has the mercy of God when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed and they left that place.
Yes?
Lot's wife missed on the way. He left with his two daughters. They went and dwelt in a cave. There, Lot slept with his two daughters. My question is, with this magnitude of mercy on Lot, why did he commit such atrocity?
Me, I should answer it. Anybody that commits sin, Lot committed sin. You're asking me, why did he commit sin? Maybe I don't understand your question. Please ask your question again.
Pastor, the question I'm asking is that Lot, out of all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he has the mercy of God. He left that city. What I'm saying is that, is it right for a man to sleep with his daughter?
Of course, it is wrong. He committed sin. So what's your question?
My question is that magnitude of sin he committed, while God have mercy on him, and he committed sin.
Was it after the sin he had mercy, or he had the mercy before the sin?
It is the mercy of God that took him out of the...
He had the mercy before he committed the sin.
Yes.
So you are asking Lot, despite all the mercy he had, why did he still come to commit sin?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Why are you asking me? That's why I said maybe I don't understand your question. But the truth is, you are looking at Lot. Lot is a perfect example of every one of us that benefited from grace. That when you have the opportunity of escaping and enjoying the mercy of God like that, it's expected that you will appreciate it and live a life that will reflect appreciation. But instead, so many Christians today, you see what they are doing with the grace of God. So the same thing you see, you are asking that same question concerning Lot, is the same question that must be asked to every believer that has taken the grace of God for granted. So it is, Lot is a, remember, it's a type of the believers that have escaped. Now remember that the same thing also happened in Israel. The mercy of God came and delivered them from bondage. But as soon as they saw God raw, and they passed through the Red Sea, a miracle that had never been seen before. The sea parted, they walked on dry ground. And when their enemies tried to follow them, following the same route, the sea swallowed them up. And they rejoiced and they rejoiced. But what is the testimony of Israel after that? That is the same thing with human beings, what they do with the mercy and grace of God. And what those type of testimonies are there in the scripture is for us to know that he never changes. So that you will know how to walk. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul enumerated it there, and in verse 13 he said, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Can I hear you, sister? Bless you.
My question is from, it's not actually, okay, let me just ask the question. The question is, a man walked to a place of business and bought something, and he actually bought it for 10,000, so we should write 15,000. He bought the phone for 10,000, and he said we should write 15,000. So I don't know if it's right for me to write 15,000.
No, you answer me. Is it right?
It's wrong.
And so what do you want me to tell you?
I just want to be clarified on that.
Clarify what? That he should be a partaker of his sin to steal his master's money. Christians don't do that. They want to use you to steal somebody's money with receipt. You won't do that. Didn't you hear the testimony that our brother Cosmos gave years back? How that somebody went to buy something and they increased the number and things like that. He had to return it. Christians don't do like unbelievers do. It's wrong. God bless you.
All right, thank you, sir. I have one question.
How many questions you want to ask so that we know when is the last one?
This is the last one.
Thank you.
Okay. There's this man. He said each time he wake up from his house, and he prayed that, God, as I'm going to the place of business, please, I want to sell very, very well. That you will get there, you will not sell anything. But the day he does not pray at all.
Maybe he's selling coffins.
No, it's not coffins. So he said the day he did not
pray. The man is selling coffins, and before he leave the house, he said, Lord, let me sell very well today. So what he's saying is, let many people die today.
No, he's not selling coffins. So he said, but the day he did not pray at all, he will sell. And when he said that to me, I felt very bad. So I just told him, I said, I think because you've done something wrong to God, and God does not want to hear anything from you, I think you should go back and ask for mercy. So he now left. So I want to go back to him and, you know, talk to him more. Because
he said any day he doesn't pray,
yes, he will sell.
He will sell very well. But any day he prays, tell him to go for deliverance. There is a spirit that wants him to disprove God, the existence of God. And if he continues with that, very soon he will not see the need to serve God again. It's Satan trying to manipulate him. Let him go for deliverance. Yes. God bless you. In John chapter 15, I think verse 3, it says, for without me, you can do not. So if Satan say, but without God you can do everything, is contrary to the scripture. Is he wants to lead that person somewhere. Have you observed that the people that say there is no God, they are the ones prospering on this earth? But those who are giving their life to Christ, living their best to live a righteous life, they are always struggling. And the mystery there is so that you will see as if serving God is in vain. It is Satan. It's another way of attacking our faith. The only people he gets, take note, everybody. The only people that spirit can get, they are those who are serving God for what they will get from God. That's where he will get you. But if you are serving God in appreciation of his grace and his mercy, then nothing can disturb your service of God. God bless you. Okay, I think I've finished with that. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, there is something I read in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 7. And also Acts chapter 22, verse 9. Now, this talked about Paul on his way to Damascus when he saw the light. And now say something. He said, and the men who journeyed with me, who journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then, if you read here also, he said, and those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So when you look at these two things, it just look as if maybe they contradict each other. So please, I want you to...
There's no contradiction. Listen. When you are studying the Bible, listen very well. When you study the Bible, study with understanding. This understanding. Get the main thing that thing you are reading wants to portray. Because you are looking at narration by two different people. Even four different people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they will be narrating the same event, but you will see some little differences in presentation. But they still convey the same thing. The important thing there was that Paul had an experience on his way to Damascus, and there were witnesses. If you go anything beyond that, then you begin to see reason not to accept the Bible as an inspired work. This same God can give two people the same revelation sitting down like this, but tell the two of them to narrate what they saw from the same source. They will narrate two different things concerning the same thing the two of them saw. So you listening to them, catch the substance of the message rather than the details of the message. God bless you. Yes. There's a question from Adamawa State. Sister Joy. Shalom, sir. I am live with Bright TV now. I've been waiting for a time to ask this question, which I asked in my church during my confirmation class in Anglican Church in Kano. Please, sir, where is the Garden of Eden? Secondly, when God chased Cain away from the Garden of Eden, where did he go to? Because the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. Praise the Lord. Now listen, That question, the first question is important. The Bible did not say the Garden of Eden. Let's read it. Genesis chapter. Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden. Where? Where? Eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. The garden was east of Eden. Eden was a reference point to locate where the garden was. It was east of Lagos. It's different from eastern Lagos. So Eden was a reference point because there is a place for reference, Eden. And as at the time that Moses was making his narration, certainly Eden was already in existence. And so you want to know where it is? This is where it is. And because it was described with two rivers, Euphrates and what, Tigris? Those two rivers, and today, those two rivers are found around Iraq. So you want to know where Eden is and where the garden is, then we have to go to Iraq, the Middle East. That is where it was located. The second question, during your confirmation class in Anglica, praise the Lord. Okay, now Adam had other children, had sons and daughters. And as at that time, you could marry your sister. You could marry because the world has to be repopulated. And if Cain was sent away and later on he married, it simply means he must have come to one of his half-sisters. Came to one of his sisters, another daughter of Adam. Because the Bible says, let's read it. Genesis chapter 5 verse 4. Chapter 5 verse 4. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. So Adam had sons and daughters. So certainly Cain picked one of his sisters to marry. God bless you. Joy from Adamawa. Can we hear you now?
Shalom, sir. Yes. Sir, there is a scenario where if one is a Christian but not a born-again Christian and that person dies, but before the person died, the person accepted Christ and asked God to forgive him or her, if the person dies,
sorry, your question again.
Okay, if a particular person,
yes,
is a Christian but not really born again Christian, but is a Christian, knows Christ, knows God, and that person happens to be sick and died, but before the person died, the person accepted Christ and asked God to forgive her and said that Jesus Christ should be the advocate, that when he gets to heaven, he should accept her soul. Where will that person go to? Will that person go to heaven?
If the person dies.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Concerning going to heaven, it's not just about going to heaven. It's about salvation. Your question is the person saved.
Yes.
Now, what qualifies you to be saved? What is it that qualifies you to be saved? Is it just that you accept Jesus Christ? How do you accept Jesus Christ? By opening your mouth to say, I accept you, Jesus.
No, this particular person asks God for mercy. All the sins she has committed from you, from small, the one she remembered, the one she did not remember, she confessed, praying and told God to forgive her.
And asked God to forgive while he was sick.
Yes, sir.
Where is it death coming? He saw death coming, then he began to think of all the bad things. He said, Father, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And you died. Amen. Well, let me not make a categorical statement. It is between that person and God. Because I don't know where he is now. We'll have asked him, where are you now? To tell us. But according to this Bible, the hope of glory is what? Christ in you, and he is in you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you say, Father, forgive me, Father, forgive me, he forgives you. But the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that is why there is the ordinance of water baptism. So, you did not go through the blood of Jesus. How will that sin be remitted? So you will stand before God. What justifies you? It's through the blood. And you did not go through the ordinance. And he had all his life. Yes.
This particular person did immersion, water baptism by immersion.
And he did confirmation too.
No, not Catholic, sir.
Eh?
Not Catholic.
Which church?
Home prayer. Home praying band, sir.
Eh?
Home praying band.
Home praying band.
My sister knows there.
Okay.
It's a white garment church, sir.
Praise the Lord. Listen, let's forget about those who have died and gone. Let's concentrate on the living. While you are alive now, make sure you live a life pleasing before God. Make sure you have the Holy Ghost. Make sure you obey all the ordinances. And let your sin be remitted. Bring your sin under the blood. For without your sin under the blood, you are going nowhere. That righteousness is filthy rag before God. Even if you are holding Bible. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, church.
Go on.
Two questions to ask. Shalom, church. So I have two questions to ask. The first one happens to be from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. It talked about, it said, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gifts, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance.
What's your question?
Sir, going by what Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 said, talking about the lukewarm church. So I don't know. Is it that it will be very difficult for especially those who have had the word, who has deviated, probably because of one or two reasons, to come back to Christ? I don't know. Because this...
Complete that sentence. You didn't read it all. Complete that reading, that verse. You didn't finish.
He said, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance.
Yes.
Say, to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over
again. Which version are you reading?
New International Version.
Can you read King James Version?
So okay. I take it from verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come.
Yes.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
That is the statement I'm looking for. The reason is because you are crucifying by that action the Son of Man afresh. You see, there are two examples I'll give you from the Bible. The first one is the blasphemy, the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He said, any sin against the Son of Man is forgiven here, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven here nor hereafter. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came now in the flesh. He came to be humiliated. No matter what you do, is fulfilling the agenda of God. He came to be rejected. He came to be crucified. He came to suffer, including all the insults and everything they are giving him, until finally he ended on the cross on Calvary. After he went through all that and conquers death and comes back in the spirit to walk among those he has redeemed through his suffering, you try again to hit him again, it is not forgivable again. That is what the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. Be careful how you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That is the same as crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ a second time. Demonstrated by what happened to Moses. To tell the whole world that he's no respecter of persons. Moses was told to strike the rock for water to come out. He struck the rock when they were thirsty and the people needed water. And water came out. The same scenario came up again. He went to the Lord. The same rock appeared. And the Lord told Moses, this time go and speak to the rock. But what did he do? He went and struck it again. And Paul tells us that that rock is a type of Christ. In fact, he said that rock was Christ. Christ cannot, you can't strike him two times. And Moses did it, and he did not enter the promised land. And so, verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 6, where we are reading, that it is impossible to restore all anyone. You have tested that this God is real. You have seen him in vision. You have seen him mighty miracle signs and wonders. You have seen the evidence of the reality of the coming kingdom. Then after that, you go back to that useless lifestyle. He said, it is impossible when you go like that for God to restore you back. You gone too far because you ended up putting the Lord to shame. You are crucifying him a second time by that action. So Apostle Paul is warning us that it is impossible for them to be restored. So be careful how you walk your Christian life. If not, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. The reason why I asked the question is because we've seen a lot of Christians who...
You cannot talk louder.
The reason why I asked the question is that we've seen a lot of Christians, even those who came to know this message even before me. I've seen them, even people who... I remember I never knew this church before. Someone brought me, but I'm not saying the person anymore. So when you...
No, you don't have to be in this church to be a Christian. The fact that somebody brought you here, you don't see him here, does not mean he's no more a Christian. Because there are people who are still here that are not Christians. So you don't use it to judge whether one is still a Christian or not. There are people that are here fornicators. They are liars. In fact, they are witches. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's why I'm asking, because we see a lot of Christians keep asking for forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness.
Eh?
Second question, sir.
Yes.
It's from...
But that scripture, there is a mystery there.
That's why I asked the question.
There is a mystery there. I only stop as far as your question is concerned. There is a mystery there on how somebody will see God raw and still abandon and go back again to prostitution and beer parlor and all the nonsense unbelievers do. The reason, the mystery is in verse 7 and verse 8. Can you read it? The mystery is explained there. And that is the mystery of the anointed ones.
In verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain,
the earth that drinketh in the rain,
that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs.
It brings forth herb as a result of the rain that falls.
Meat for them by whom it is dressed.
Yes.
Receiveth blessing from God.
It is a blessing from God. Yes.
But that which beareth thorns and bearers is rejected.
What is it done? Is rejected.
And is nailed unto cursing. Whose end is to be burned?
Into hell fire. Lake of fire. The rain there is talking about the Holy Ghost. And is using the natural rain. Rain is a blessing. When you go to the farm, listen, it's a mystery. When you go to the farm and you farm, amen, before the rain falls, you won't know which seeds are there. But the farmer planted his own seed there. He knows the corn he planted there. And he goes to pray for rain. And suddenly the rain will fall. That rain is a blessing from God. But when it is time you go to the farm, is it only what he planted that will come out? No. But the rain that fell is what makes those grass to also grow along with what he planted. The blessing that came from God came because of that corn. But where that rain fell, there were some other seeds there that received the same rain from God. That is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But whether we grow, a seed of God is a seed of God. A tear is a tear. But they receive the same rain and they will manifest according to their origin. That is a mystery. Because eternal security, and that is why we keep saying that, take note that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So you sometimes see people displaying anointing and you think they are of God. No. By their fruits, you shall know them. No genuine seed of God meets with God and tries to go back again to the world. When we talk of backsliding, listen. Backsliding for a Christian is not that I was a nightclub by fornicator, keeping women, adulterer. Then I gave my life to Christ, on fire for God, on fire. Then after some time, I drop Bible, begin to carry prostitutes up and down. Brother Moses, what is happening? Don't worry, and I backslid. Then everybody say, oh, he has backslidden. He has not backslidden, no. He was not converted at all. Hallelujah. Listen, this is backsliding in Christianity. This is, and anything beyond that is on conversion. To backslid is anything you were doing spiritually that you stopped doing. That is backsliding. You used to pray before when you gave your life to Christ. 3 hours every day. Now you cannot pray for 30 minutes. You have backsliding. That is the meaning of backsliding. You used to go out and preach and win souls. Now you have stopped. You are facing your business looking for money. You have backslidden. Hallelujah. That is it. Not somebody who will go back to the world and drink and drink and sleep and dine with sin. And he say, I'm backsliding. He says, such people can never be returned. Because that is who they are anyway. They were not converted before. Praise the Lord. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Your thirst for worldly things, they die. It's the mystery of salvation is so deep until it takes you to know your scripture to be able to know who is truly a Christian. It's very difficult to know who is truly a Christian. And that's why it's not enough that you see a brother is known in the church. He's always known in the church. Then you say, that will be a Christian. Because I want to marry you. Then you say, yes, a Christian brother. Let me marry a Christian brother. You may be marrying a serpent. The same thing, brother, with a sister. That's why I say, don't rate somebody's activity in the church, spiritually in the church, to conclude whether he's a Christian or not. The fact that every time prayer goes, then another one during prayer, they do like this, just quiet, does not mean you're a better Christian than the one when they do quiet. Because to start with, anyway, make a no go that side. Make we talk another thing. Yes? I finished with you.
Sorry, this last question. I wanted to ask two questions. My second question is from the book of Matthew chapter 5.
Why you never open and since? Make I hear you, Joe.
Sir, the book of Matthew 5. I just want to. You talked about, said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 5, you said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Yes.
And looking about what the book of Revelation talked about heaven, it said some people be in heaven and some in earth. I don't know. Is it that there are some that will make heaven? And some that will actually inherit.
You're mixing your question. What I thought you wanted to ask is not what you're asking. You quoted the scripture. I thought you don't understand. You want it to be explained. Now you are coming to Revelation that it talks about heaven. The whole Bible talks about heaven and hell. So I don't understand your question. What's your question?
My question is, I want to be sure. Is it that there are some people that will be separated from heaven and the new earth? I don't know. Like,
Are you a member of this church?
Yes, sir. By the grace of God.
Since when?
This year will make it my second year.
Which group do you belong?
Contender.
Eh?
Contender, sir.
Contender. Because you are talking like somebody who just started coming to church. You know, you don't even seem to know about heaven. You don't even seem to know about hell. And so, I don't know whether you have really made up your mind to know which one you want to go. Is it heaven or hell? Because you are still confused.
No, sir. It's just that someone asked this question. And the person who asked this question is a member of Foursquare. And in their church, they were made to understand, they taught them that there are people who will make heaven. And there are some on that after the rapture, they will inherit the earth.
Ah.
So, when the question came to me, I had to go back to the book of Revelation.
That's why I asked if you're a member of this church, please, to save time, go and get the message that I preach the divine agenda. Get it and listen to it. From Genesis till we go in eternity, till the white throne judgment, step by step, after this, what next? After this, what next? According to the scripture, the divine agenda. Go and read it so that you will know the answer to your question is there.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
The people that will inherit this earth, it is Christ and his bride. We are coming here to rule this earth. When Christ will sit in this in Jerusalem as the King of Kings, while we, after the rapture, will collect the crown, will receive our areas of jurisdiction where we shall rule, where we shall be coming to rule this earth for 1,000 years. We are the ones that will rule this earth. Yes, Matthew 25, there is a group that did not receive Christ. But the day of the Lord will come, and then he will call two groups of people. One group, he said they are goats. The other one, he said they are sheep. One group, goats. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. And they will ask him, when did we see you and we did all this to you? I'm paraphrasing. And then he will say, he will point to the Jews. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it for me. When? During the tribulation. The last 3.5 years of the last 7 years of the revelation God gave Daniel, 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9. 69 have passed. Between 69th week and the 70th week is the Gentile dispensation. He ends it with a rapture, then he turns for the last week to be completed. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist enters a covenant for 1 week, but in the middle of that 1 week, he breaks it, and the last 3.5 years is tribulation. And it will be the Jews. The prophet calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. It will be such that they have not experienced since the beginning of the earth, of that nation, Israel. And there will be serious persecution because they will reject him. So, at the end of the 3.5 years, the Bible said there will be darkness. The sun will cease. That is the day of the Lord. Christ coming to judge those who are living, who rejected him. And then cleanse the earth. By the time he finishes turning this earth upside down, all the satellite, everything will be arranged. He said few men will be left. Isaiah prophesied that men will be as scarce as gold. Those few left, they are those he spared because they took care of the Jews during the time of the tribulation. He will allow them to enter the 1,000 years. They are the ones that will repopulate the earth for 1,000 years for us to rule them. When you are 100 years, you'll be called a baby because Satan will be put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years period is the period of peace on earth where Christ, the Prince of Peace, seated in Jerusalem. And he will rule with a rod of iron with us scattered all around the world. And we will not be having this type of body. We will be having angelic body, glorified bodies. We will be angels on earth here. Praise the Lord. So those are the people that will enter the millennium. And it has nothing to do with Matthew 5 where you read. The meek shall inherit the earth. What is the meekness there? Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ alone has the spirit of meekness. To be meek there is to be like Christ, is to be humble. Those who are haughty, they will hear from God. Those who are proud, they will hear instructions from God. They are too proud to descend and to this rough gospel. So you are proud, and God hates a proud look. So the believers are those described as the meek, and this earth, we are going to inherit it. God created this earth for man to live on this earth. and we shall live on this earth. Only us who are humble enough to accept the work of salvation through the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. How many people will be in the rapture? How many people? Put down your hands. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can never go in the rapture.